voted down in the Senate to allow people who are sexual harassment or sexual trauma survivors to have their case be seen outside their chain of command within the military, because many times, as we know, those perpetrators are in their chain of command. So yeah. Things that we want to hear about, Marvin, looking for stories.
Yeah.
What's your email address, Marvin? How can people get it?
You can get a hold of me if you have ideas at NWVP, Northwest Vets for Peace, NWVP@teleport.com, and you can send us some ideas. And we're just about out of time. We'll be back July 17th at 9 a.m. This is Veteran Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7. There it is.
For I marched to the battles of the German trench in a war that was bound to end all wars. Oh, I must have killed a million men, and now they want me back again, but I ain't marching anymore.
And it is 10 a.m. on KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Flashpoints, and that is followed at 11 on the radio scene by an interview. Host Ethan Scarl will speak with Dr. Jonathan Simon. He's the author of Code Red, Computerized Election Theft and the New American Century. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. And I also would like to thank all the KBOO members for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
We are women recently released from Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, where we were in a program called the Family Preservation Project, which helped our children stay connected to us and taught us how to parent.
The Department of Correction chose to cancel the Family Preservation Project. Tune in to Prison Pipeline to hear how you can help us flip the switch on DOC's decision. Please support Senate Bill 939, which addresses the needs of children with incarcerated moms.
That's Prison Pipeline, June 22nd at 6:30 p.m.
Attention KBOO members and listeners. The KBOO Foundation is seeking to fill four upcoming vacancies on the Board of Directors. Terms run 3 years, beginning on October 1st. The nomination packet, due July 11th, is posted on the KBOO website, and paper copies are available at the station. Candidates must submit the completed nomination packet via email to kboocommunity@gmail.com or mail or drop off the completed nomination packet, care of Timothy Welp, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Incomplete forms will not be considered as fulfilling the statement of interest requirement by the KBOO bylaws. Packets are due by Saturday, July 11th. The candidate statements submitted as part of the nomination packet will be posted to KBOO's website, and candidates will be expected to participate in an interview for broadcast and a Q&A session at the annual meeting. For more information, please contact the nominating committee at kboocommunity@gmail.com.
Today on Flashpoints, a white racist gunman opens fire at a prayer meeting in a historic black church in downtown Charleston, South Carolina. He murders 9 people as they prayed. Also, the new Cold War heats up between the U.S. and Russia. We'll speak to an arms control expert and a nun who was just freed after serving 2 years for hammering on and pouring her blood on nuclear warheads. And the Biggs Beat returns with a hard look at gay marriage as a foil for some of the deeper problems confronting the LGBT community. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. Federal and state officials have opened up a hate crimes investigation into last night's attack at a historic black church in Charleston, South Carolina. Nine people were murdered in cold blood during their regular Wednesday night prayer session. Flashpoint spoke just before airtime to Kevin Alexander Gray. Gray is the former president of the ACLU in South Carolina and the co-editor of Killing Trayvon's, an anthology of American violence. We spoke to Gray about the shooting. Gray personally knew several of those who were gunned down and murdered. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And we're now joined by Kevin Alexander Gray, who has, well, he's in South Carolina, has written extensively about racism, former head of the ACLU in South Carolina. And, well, that's where you are now, a horrific shooting. Your initial response, this kind of racism, this kind of racist attack is not new for your neck of the woods, is it?
Well, South Carolina is the state that succeeded, first to succeed from the Union, with shots fired on Fort Sumter from Charleston, where the Citadel was established as an outpost to quell slave rebellions, the kind of slave rebellions that Denmark Vesey, one of the founders of Mother Emanuel AME Church, where the shooting took place last night, planned the slave uprising. And so if you're going to hurt the black community and strike at the heart of historical institutions in South Carolina, the place that a madman, racist, would strike would be Mother Emanuel. I knew Clemente Pinckney, fine young man, two kids, went to school about three blocks from my house. You know, I criticized legislators a lot and have been critical, but Clemente was always somebody that was accessible and reachable, and he was just a good, fine fellow. And the state is going to miss his leadership. I know the family's going to miss him. Everybody's in shock and just sad. But, you know, we're in a state where they fly the Confederate flag on the lawn of the state house. They took it off the dome and put it on the lawn with all the memorials to the Confederacy. There are countless buildings, roads, whatever named after Confederate heroes. The county that the young man came from, Lexington County, is one of the most Republican counties in the state. If you go to the rural parts of that county, places with names like Red Bank, Swansea, Pelion, you're going to see Confederate flags. They believe in the culture of white supremacy. That young man seems to have been brought up in a culture and a mindset of white supremacy. He struck that church on a day, historically, that Denmark Vesey and his compatriots were plotting an uprising, a slave rebellion, and he hurt the entire community in this state.
It was extraordinary. According to reports, the mass murderer sat in church there and prayed for an hour or something before he opened fire, which sort of demonstrates a certain kind of depravity that is very troubling.
As I said, he prayed not with an A but an E. He sat right next to Clemente for an hour before he started killing people and making them beg for their lives, women and children, in the room. You know, it's just horrible to think about how someone so young could have so much hatred for people, could believe that black people were taking something from him, that black people were the age-old racist stereotype, attacking their women and denying them something that they thought was rightfully theirs, power. We've got to come to grips with that. And then we have the governor of the state offering her condolences. But she plays into that narrative. She rejected Medicaid expansion that would help the poor because in the ideology of white supremacy, they believe that that black people are taking something from white people, that black people don't deserve anything other than the lash or the whip or the poverty that they're in. We've got to challenge this ideology of white supremacy. It's so ingrained in our culture, so ingrained in our society. And as I said, this is South Carolina. This is the soul of the Confederacy. This is the home of ideological white supremacy in this country. This is the state that has enabled the Southernization of American politics to spread across this country. And as I said, I hope that white Americans think long and hard about the poisonous atmosphere that black people face every day. If it isn't nine people being shot in a church, it's a young man, Tamir Rice, being shot 2 seconds after the police pull up, or Freddie Green, being driven around town and killed in the back of a van, or Walter Scott being shot in the back, or Aaron Gardner being choked. It's on and on and on and on in a loop. And I don't know what kind of country that people think we're developing, what kind of country they hope that we're going to be in the future, with this kind of hatred and animus to people who have never done anything except try to be close to white people, people whose ancestors built this country. They weren't drags on this country. They built this country. And for people to believe that somehow black people are subhuman, undeserving of justice and mercy.
We're speaking with Kevin Alexander Gray in South Carolina, where there was a terrible mass murder that took place. We're hearing again from, well, we are hearing that there's going to be an investigation. It's going to be taken, I hope, as a hate crime. But again, we're also hearing that this is not, this doesn't speak for South Carolina. I know you've addressed this a little bit, that this is, again, somebody who's crazy, went over the edge, doesn't represent current day South Carolina. But I haven't been there for a couple of years, but I know when I was there, there was the Ku Klux Klan Get Your Trophy Shop, among other things. They still had the Confederate flag flying on top of the State House. So is this just a bad example, a terrible situation that doesn't represent the new South Carolina?
Listen, as I said, this is the ideological home of white supremacy in America. And people need to come to grips with that in this state. It's why we protest so hard about the Confederate flag being on the State House grounds, because that's what it represents. That's our history. Surely going into that church and this being the largest mass murder in South Carolina in recent history, no question that that is shocking to us. But the atmosphere, the history of this state, with that history, it doesn't surprise me. I'm stunned and I'm shocked, but I'm not surprised.
All right. I want to thank you very much, Kevin Alexander Gray in South Carolina, joining us. Kevin, he's preparing a piece. I guess you're preparing a piece for Counterpunch at this point, and you'll be getting some information watching this very closely.
Right. And I'm trying to sort it through. I've had people tell me, Kevin, it's time to, you got to speak up, and I'm going to do that. So I'm trying to just say, Clemente was known by a lot of people, and that's not to diminish the other family members who lost people in that church last night. They're just as important. But people are feeling a lot of pain right now.
What's the responsibility, I should ask you, of a black president? Should Obama come there and stand with the family? What would be the proper thing to do?
You're asking the wrong person that question, because it's been a tough 6 years for black people under this president, with a standing down of leadership, with a president willing to bow down to racists who will never accept him, and not standing up for the rights of black people, which is basically standing up for the rights of all Americans, claiming to be the president of all America. But at times when it came down to speaking truth to power, he just was the mouthpiece for power that he is. And, you know, the fact that every Tuesday he's killing people with drones without due process, I just don't think he has a lot of moral authority.
Well, we urge you to be careful. Watch out for the familia, and please take care. Thanks for all the hard work and the good work that you do to inform all of us on this situation.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right, bye-bye now. We'll be right back. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, the Washington Post and other papers are reporting this week that Russia has announced it will expand its nuclear arsenal, sparking concerns about a renewed arms race as Cold War rivals Moscow and Washington plan to increase their military capacity amid rising tensions over Ukraine. Today on Flashpoints, we will feature two interviews on this crucial subject. First, we'll speak with a noted arms control specialist, and then later on, an anti-nuclear activist. Maybe they're both anti-nuclear activists. But let's start with the lawyer, and we're delighted to be joined by Alice Slater. Alice Slater is, well, she is with the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation and the Abolition 2000. She coordinates, she's been battling for arms control for many years. Alice Slater, welcome to Flashpoints.
I'm delighted to be here.
It's good to have you with us. Why don't you begin with an overview in terms of this expanding race, how you see this unfolding and why?
Well, I see it as as something very much within the control of United States policy. I feel that we have provoked Russia. First of all, when the wall came down and it was a miracle, Gorbachev let go of all of Eastern Europe without a shot, and we promised him we would not expand NATO eastward if they allowed a united Germany to enter our military alliance of NATO. So we totally disregarded that promise. We went right up to their border, and we're even looking at Georgia and Ukraine as NATO members. I mean, what would we think if Russia put their military alliance